Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you, Dave Solomon, so very much. Always a pleasure to hear that voice. Always a pleasure to start the show, especially when you have such high expectations. Oh, it would be tough to beat the show from the other day with Dan Cipriano and Daniel Bennett, the two Dans. It was really a fun time. But hey, I'm anticipating some ladies today and next Tuesday that are going to rock your socks off. Actually, the one that we're going to have on Tuesday is going to be real special. She'll be a repeat guest, Carla Chisholm, and she's got some news to share, and it's also going to be First Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, if you can believe it, December the 4th. Oh my gosh. Today, next hour, matter of fact, Claire Daly, baritone saxophonist, is set to wow you. That's all I can say, and hopefully things will work out according to plan. Now, since we are rolling into the holiday season, hoping that everything went great for your Thanksgiving and getting ready for December, we're going to start things off with a little sweet song. You know how we usually like to do the classics, right? Well, not going to be any different today. This is something that goes back to 1948. If you will, please make room for Charlie Parker on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
You know, somebody called a little while ago when they called at the studio, and they said, I wonder if you'd get Bird to do something on Christmas. Well, it's fitting. This is Christmas morning, and the Bird's got a little arrangement, a little surprise for you on White Christmas. Thank you.
Now, I thought that you would enjoy to hear that song done twice, back-to-back, instrumental version and then the vocal version. Woohoo! Jeffrey Osborne with LTD, back in the day, 1976. 36 years ago. What? Yes. Love ballad. And, of course, George Benson heard that and went, I wonder if I can do that a little up-tempo. Man, that song has been getting a workout through the years. Whew, lovely, lovely. Jeffrey Osborne, it's just so hard to believe that Jeffrey has been doing his thing for that long. Rhode Island is where he hails from, by the way, the youngest of 12 kids. And through the past, like, 5 or 6 years, a bunch of people have been telling me that they have seen him on various cruises. And I just thought about him this morning, decided to play that song, because on the way to take my son to school, I heard Stay With Me Tonight from back in the 80s. And whenever I hear a George Duke, Jeffrey Osborne collaboration, I go a little crazy. And I understand that a new partnership, an album from Jeffrey is coming out in 2013. So hold on to your hats for that. Then I found out that he's coming to Alexandria, Virginia in January. So this time, Sister Child is not going to miss seeing him in person. Now that he's a seasoned veteran after all these years, oh, man, it's going to be so nice. David Mark on saxophone did the other version of Love Ballad. David Mark, MARQ.net, has more information. Now, that particular song was from the Hit It Project. And the Hit It Project is all about a tribute album to the late, great, Grammy Award-winning Skip Scarborough, who wrote Love Ballad and so many other songs. And David just has a sweet spot in his heart for Skip Scarborough because his saxophone, sweet as that is, translates so well into Skip songs. David, by the way, is the grandson of Billy Taylor Sr., the jazz bassist for Duke Ellington. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. And we heard at the top Charlie Parker, also on sax. Nobody has ever said that. Also on sax, Charlie Parker, one of the kings of the instrument in the past so many years. That was done live at the Royal Roost in New York in 1948. Royal Roost was also known as the Metropolitan Bopera. I love that. Charlie Parker doing White Christmas with Kenny Dorham on trumpet, Al Haig on piano, Tommy Potter on bass, and Max Roach on drums. How they got to do this on Christmas Day, how they got the guys out of the house, I don't know, but it sounded pretty doggone good. Just a couple of things about Charlie Parker. Kansas City, Kansas born. At one point for 3 or 4 years, he was practicing on sax 15 hours a day. In 1939, he was playing at Jimmy's Chicken Shack in New York, having moved from Kansas City. Art Tatum was playing at Jimmy's, and Charlie was really getting inspired. And he said that in 1939 also, he had an epiphany while he was playing. He discovered that 12 tones of the chromatic scale can lead to any key, and that was pretty radical because that broke with simpler jazz of the day. And you're probably going to get smiling when you hear this, but the old schoolers didn't like these new cats who were sort of turning the world around with bebop, and the younger cats had a name for the older cats who didn't like them. We won't go into that, but things haven't changed too much, have they? Old school, new school. What is jazz? What isn't jazz? Fascinating. But if you were to tell Charlie Parker that he was going to be considered someday to be straight ahead, he would have said, what? I love that stuff. Jerry Allen on piano, one of the greats on piano, has played with the greats and is now one of the greats herself. And I love these women who own their instruments. Jerry Allen owns her piano, that's for sure, and you're going to hear a lady who owns the baritone sax coming up at 2. That's Claire Daly, good old Irish gal, coming your way at the top of next hour. This is Jerry Allen from her A Child Is Born CD. God is with us, but you'll recognize this as it came upon a midnight clear. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
Thank you. I am a poor boy too. Rum pum pum pum. I have no gifts to bring. Rum pum pum pum. That's fit to give a king. Bum bum bum. Bum 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 bum. Bum 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 bum.
Sandra Wilson, just so nice. I am completely enamored of this CD all over again, Jazz to the World, that was done in 1995 as a benefit package for Special Olympics. I sure hope you can get to partake in that. I think that you can still get it via Amazon. There might be a couple of other outlets where you can get it, but that's where I last saw it. And just the stunning array of artists on this roster here is just crazy. We're going to hear another track or maybe two during the course of the show, but I wanted to play that really cool version of Little Drummer Boy. Cassandra Wilson, I'm not sure what's going on with her, but I found something very intriguing. You know that Cassandra is part and parcel one of those folks that Terry Lynn Carrington goes to. Cassandra was on the Mosaic Project, and I don't know how much work they're doing these days. I know that Terry Lynn is doing a little work with our friend Dwight Sills. Yes. You can find out a lot of what's going on through Cassandra's head on her Facebook page. She delves into some really pithy matters. Some very deep how did the world begin matters, and gets political and spiritual, and was just talking about Thanksgiving and how Thanksgiving is perceived according to Native Americans, and I completely hear what she has to say. But here's the thing that's really intriguing. She is at the Blue Note in New York City now until the 2nd of December, and then that's going to be it for her until April of 2013. Yeah, that's what I thought. So if you have a mind to, you might want to check out Cassandra in the next couple of days. Hopefully you'll hear that on time, and maybe she'll regale you with that interpretation of Little Drummer Boy. McCoy Tyner, we heard from. It's his birthday coming up on the 11th, and you figure the math out. He was born in 1938. We're so happy to have McCoy doing his thing. I love him so much. Of course I do. He's a Philadelphia guy. God Rest Ye Merry Jazzmen is the name of that compilation. McCoy did I'll Be Home for Christmas. That album was out in 1981. It was basically Columbia label mates, including Wynton Marsalis with Branford, also Dexter Gordon, the Heath Brothers, Paquito de Rivera, and Arthur Blythe and his quintet. And McCoy is doing a couple of dates, not a whole lot, but I think this is the time of year when you go to their separate websites that you find out that they're, even though a lot of people are way ahead of the game, some of these cats and kitties like to take their time to figure out what they're going to do for the upcoming year. So we'll probably hear some more dates from McCoy. If you get a chance, please get to see him. That is musical history personified right there. Jerry Allen also on keyboard. Jerry Allen, a very interesting lady. My goodness. Born in Detroit, a Howard University grad. Also a contemporary of Terry Lynn Carrington, also on the project, by the way. Jerry Allen, a composer, pianist, educator. I said this before. Look at my voice here. Worked with the greats, and she is a great herself. That is from her Child is Born CD, just full of holiday fare. God is with us, and you'll recognize the tune. I hope you did, as it came upon a midnight clear. I just found out that she's going to be doing a solo gig at the Kennedy Center, so that's pretty hot. That's coming up in December, and she is at the Jazz Standard in New York City. We've got Cassandra Wilson across town, and then Jerry Allen's at the Standard until the 2nd of December. So if you have a mind to, if you're in the New York City area or want to plan to be there to do some shopping, you might want to check out that whole situation. That'd be fun. Two amazing women to see live. Oh, my God. And I thought, since Claire Daly is going to be with us, hopefully, at the top of this next hour, and since I always want to lead into a particular artist with something that the artist has done, so while they're waiting to talk, they can actually hear their song being played, I thought I would play a vocal back-to-back with a vocal that we just heard. Usually it's a couple of instrumentals and then a vocal, but Claire Daly is going to be the instrumental that's going to be last in this set. So I thought we'd dip back just as we did at the top of the hour to 1948. Let's go back to 1957. And one of the premier jazz vocalists during that time, Anita O'Day, fascinating lady, just passed away actually in 2006 at the age of 87. This was from the time when she was at her peak. She had some incredible guys on the CD with her, and that includes Herb Ellis and Ray Brown and Oscar Peterson, but she never got overshadowed. She was so hip to the joint, and that's how she wanted people to perceive her. Did not like the female stereotypes at all. She liked to put on a jacket. She liked to put on a skirt. She wasn't into the evening gowns. She wanted to be considered one of the guys, so she was very feminine. From Anita Sings the Most, this is You Turn the Tables on Me. Woohoo! On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Turn the tables on me, and now I'm falling for you. You turn the tables on me. I can't believe that it's true. I always thought when you brought the lovely present you brought, why hadn't you brought me more? But now if you'd come, I'd welcome anything from the 5 and 10 cents dog. You used to call me the top. You put me up on a throne. You let me fall with a drop. Now I'm out on my own. But I'm thinking it over and over. I got what was coming to me. Just like the sting of a bee, you turned the tables on me. You turned the tables on me. And now I'm falling for you. You turned the tables on me. I can't believe that it's true. I always thought when you brought the presents you brought, why hadn't you brought me more? But now if you'd come, I'd welcome anything from the 5 and 10 cent store. You used to call me the top. You put me up on a throne. You let me fall with a drop. And now I'm out on my own. But after thinking it over and over, I got what was coming to me. Just like the sting of a bee, you turned the tables on me.
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is one of my new favorite songs these days, Honest to Gosh. Love the creativity in that. You just heard Dirty Socks. Love it. From the Honorable Hustlers, Claire Daly and Napoleon Solo. Out of Compliance is the name of the package I'm holding in my hand. Human Beatbox and Baritone Saxophone. This lady is so unique. I've been wanting to talk to her for a while. And I have to thank Janice Rochelle Littlejohn for turning me on big time to this lady I'm about to introduce to you. I can't even tell you how many hats this woman wears. A consummate baritone saxophonist, a teacher, a researcher, a composer, a world traveler, and a passionate aficionado of jazz the way it's supposed to be, because she does it at its creative best. This is Claire Daly. Hey, Claire.
Well, hello. Thank you so much.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? This is a pleasure and an honor to have you. I love that song so much. I do.
Oh, I'm glad. You know, that CD is called Out of Compliance.
Yes.
And let me tell you about Napoleon. Now, Napoleon's name is Napoleon Maddox, and he has a band, a hip-hop band called Is What? And when he's not working in Is What, he calls himself Napoleon Solo, which, of course, was the man from Uncle, which is very funny.
Yes.
But he lives in Cincinnati, and he's one of my dearest friends. We just immediately had the greatest bond in life, and I love playing with him. He's a human beatbox. And his best influences are jazz musicians. You know, he's really a jazz musician who's a hip-hop artist. Or a beatbox artist.
And Claire, what's so striking is that, of course, I noticed that not only did you and he do this, but he just flows effortlessly into a beautiful, somewhat more serious project, Mary Joyce Project, Nothing to Lose, which was your baby. So here he is. He can be light and cool and hip-hoppy, and then he can segue right into something that's meat and potatoes.
Oh, yeah. No, he can hold down any chair that a drummer is required for. Just put it in his mouth. It's just amazing.
Well, you are too. My God, your story just knocked my socks off, because you've probably done the research on this. You do it on everything else. How many would you say that you know of are women who have delved into baritone saxophone?
You know, I should count up the ones I know, because I actually know more than you'd think. I know, we all know each other, you know. We
I'll
sort
bet.
Of find each other. You know, but there are many more than you think. I'm not the only one, for sure. But, of course, it's out of the convention, yes.
Well, you know what? It takes a certain amount of, how am I going to say this, athleticism to be able to handle that instrument. You have to have
something
some...
I'm not accused of very often, I got to tell you.
Okay. It takes
a certain
amount of lung power, a certain
yeah.
kind of physicality to be able to do that well.
Well, it does take physicality, but I have to say some very tiny people are amazing baritone players.
Get
you know,
out.
It doesn't you don't have to be sort of huge to have the air to play. You just have to be able to have good lung capacity. And yes, it's a very physical thing to do. And I can tell you, Trish, I don't know what I was thinking. Or certainly when I decided to be a baritone player, I wasn't thinking with my head. I was thinking with my heart. And the baritone's big and heavy and fragile. What a horrible combination. So getting around the streets of New York, my heart's in my throat all the time with people. You know, you're close to people, and it's a delicate big baby.
So is it really true that you got very excited about the particular baritone sax? I mean, you had been playing sax for a little bit, but then Dad took you to see the Buddy Rich Big Band, and you saw his section that did a solo, and you went berserk?
Well, that's true, except that wasn't where I started playing baritone. I've started playing alto. I was playing alto
right.
when I first started.
That's
and
what
that concert was in 1971, and that was, you know, one of the biggest epiphanies of my life. I mean, that was just, the music just, and believe me, big band jazz was out of fashion in 1971, it was me and a lot of older people, and I freaked out. You know, the last song of their set was Norwegian Wood.
Oh, wow.
Last song in their set. But they did, I was freaking, my head was spinning anyway, and then they did a Beatles song, and I'm whatever, you know, 12 years old. And I was like, oh my God, I know this song. You know, and the whole event was just wild for me. That was a great moment. Yeah,
well,
but
see,
then I haven't really looked back. You know, I started pursuing it then.
And I know that feeling, certainly not because I was playing a saxophone, but I saw Buddy Rich and his band in 1967 at the Newport Jazz Festival. And I went berserk because, I mean, he had such electricity and he was such an orchestra leader. Everybody knew what to do, and it was just so seamless. It was a high, wasn't it, to see?
Well, it was. It was.
Man.
I mean, I dragged my father to the stage door, and I said to him, the bus was out back, you know, and I said, this is at the Westchester County Center, and I said, I would do anything to be on that bus. Like, I just, all I wanted to do was take my saxophone and go on the road.
And did Buddy get a chance to meet you?
I did. I got his autograph.
And that is wild.
I don't remember what he said then. But when I did graduate from, I went to Berkeley, and when I graduated in the 70s from Berkeley, he was the like guest speaker guy.
Mm.
Or honorary degree or something, and we all got to shake his hand going down the line. So that was kind of a sweet moment for me to have that around.
I'm telling you, if he knew, he was the kind of guy that really took to these kinds of stories. I wish he had known more about you, because he probably would have taken you on that bus on the road with him.
Oh, my God. And I'd be in a mental hospital by now. But you know, it doesn't always look the way you think it's going to look when you're a kid.
Yes. Be careful what you wish for.
Exactly. Exactly. That's okay. Well, I'd be okay. But that'd be a different life.
You know, you got out of Berkeley and you just dove head first, didn't you? I mean, you just didn't even waste any time.
No, I didn't. Got out of school. I graduated from Berkeley in the afternoon on a Saturday or something, and went down to Cape Cod that day and had a gig that night. So I came out of the gate running, and really for many years. And it's not like that now for me, but for many years I worked almost every night of the week. I mean, I would shade off with a pencil the days that I was working, and I can remember priding myself on, I think there were 3 months, you know, where I was gigging every night of the week. It was really all about gigging for me.
Gosh, wow. So when you do that, when you were gigging every night, does your body take a shot, because you are doing the baritone saxophone? So, I mean, you didn't have any rest, hardly. So did your body rebel?
Well, remember, back in those days, I was playing more alto. Although. I was in a rock band where I played alto, tenor, and soprano. So, yes. But you know what? In your 20s, it's not a problem.
Right.
And in your 30s, it's not really a problem. In your 30s, it's still pretty cool. So maybe that's why the natural tendency is to slow down a little as one progresses, you know?
Yeah, forgive me. I asked that question as a recent, just turned 60-year-old. So that's what my whole scenario was. I'm thinking, Lord.
Right, how would you do that? Me too, Me too.
Yeah, well,
you
start to reflect on the kinds of crazy scenarios that you got yourself into. But, my God. What a career that you've had, and I can't even tell you, Claire, how beautifully Janice Rochelle Littlejohn spoke of you when she was on the show a few months ago.
Oh, well, she is so gorgeous in every way. I mean, she's beautiful inside and outside, and the passion that she has to work. Now, her project, I'm sure your listeners know.
Yep.
Her but Can She Play project, and boy, that is just one force of nature for her to be on this. You know, it's going to take her years to do this project, and it's going to really reflect the foundation that she's putting into it. It's I just know it's going to be fabulous.
Oh my gosh, she is so high talking about, and she's very specific about who she wants to be elevated, as it were, as far as women playing instruments, because, you know, a lot of women play certain kinds of instruments, but she wants to get, excuse the expression, down and dirty and make sure that the women who might get overshadowed never do. She loved your playing. She told me a couple of stories about you, and I delved into it. I did the research, and by God, she was right. just really good stories, and I fell in love. When I heard you, after that particular interview, I got really immersed in Claire Daly music, and I was blown away. You're so creative. You're so innovative. You don't do things like anybody else. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Oh, thank you. You know, for me, I will say that is the highest compliment that I can get, and I thank you. I'm a little touched by that, because, you know, there's so much skill and ability out there in the jazz world these days. And for me, being a kind of old school, you know, a kid who grew up listening to jazz, what I look for are people's individual expressions. Really, like, massive, amazing technique is lovely, and it's It's great for about 10 minutes. I might even say five, but, you know, 10 minutes. And then it's like, well, tell me something, you know, like just technique just isn't enough. So to me, that's really what an artist does, is seek to express their own voice. So that compliment is huge to me. Thank you, because it means that somehow I'm expressing my own thing, which is what I seek to do.
Well, honestly, in listening to, and I know that I'm not alone, because I'll tell folks a story that just blew me away when I first heard about you. But in listening to the Mary Joyce Project, Nothing to Lose, I was riveted because each track is its own story. And you just threw caution to the wind. You wanted to pay homage to your second cousin, I believe, so much. And you had ideas about what each song would mean and how it would reflect her. So you weren't even thinking of you. You were thinking of the personality of your cousin. And each song was this revelation. I mean, I found myself going, what? I thought we were going to go in a different direction, and then I heard track 3, and then track 5, and then track 7, and I went, oh, my God, this is fully fleshed out. This is like an opera.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Great to hear other people's perception of it, because, you know, my own. In fact, now I've done a project since then, so I'm thrilled to hear this feedback. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And yeah, pertaining to that particular project, Baritone Monk, I really wanted to do this, and I wanted to let you know about it. I want to buy a few copies for folks for holiday gift giving, because I love the idea that the at least partial proceeds are going to benefit the Monk Institute, right?
No, actually, 100% of the proceeds go to the Monk Institute. Let me tell you about that project, too. We'll come back to Mary Joyce, because I'd love to tell you more about Mary Joyce.
She's yeah.
A hero in my life. But another hero in my life, and here I'll tell you the story, how it happened. Years back, I didn't get my first computer until 1999, and I had just done my first CD, and I sent it out, or it was for Koch Jazz, and they sent it out. So this DJ from California wrote me, and it was just sort of, I was discovering the world of computer, you know, that you could reach all kinds of people, and, you know, it was great. So this guy brought me out to California twice for a festival he was coordinating, and we'd become friends over the years. When he and his wife were in town, we'd hang out, or I'd see them here and there, and just great people, live in Mendocino. And he owns a brewery that makes Brother Thelonious Ale. So, yeah, it's this Belgian ale named for Thelonious Monk, and
wow.
All of the proceeds go. It's a craft brewery. Is that what they call it? It's like a, you know, craft beers. They make these little specialized beers, and
yeah,
and so all of the proceeds go to the Monk Institute for Jazz Education, and they've donated tremendous, over $500,000 to the Monk Institute.
Amazing.
They're, it's just completely on the up and up. This guy is just amazing force of nature in the jazz world, you know, really a real supporter. So he calls me and he says in the spring and says, we'd like to bring your group out to California, your quartet, and we'll do a tour from Vancouver to Santa Cruz, 8-day tour, and then we'll come back to New York, we'll come with you, and we'll make a record of Monk tunes. First of all,
oh my,
that can't happen. It's almost, it was like, okay, did that just happen? Was I dreaming? And so they have, and he is, you know, as he does, Doug Moody, as he does, he is true to his word. And we went out and we did this hilarious tour. We had 8 just riotously fun days, came back to New York, went into the best studio with the best engineers, all the best, everything's the top shelf, you know, and I'm sorry you didn't get yours yet. You have one coming in the mail. I put your name on the list for them to send out, so you should get one.
You should be getting one soon.
I have to talk to them. I hope they've gone out already, but I will make sure that you get some. And then if you order them from the website there, from the northcoastbrewing.com, I think, northcoastbrewing.com. It's North Coast Brewery. All of the 100% of the proceeds go to the institute. So
that's just incredible. God, that's unheard of.
It's just incredible. I know. And it's like, I don't care. I mean, you know, I've made a bunch of CDs, and I don't think I've ever made a penny off of any of them. So it's you know, you're kind of always it's always be going the other direction, but. You know, that's just how it is, and that's okay. But the fact that the money from this CD could go to the Monk Institute is makes me very happy. You know.
Well, you know,
and I mean, we were paid along the way, so it's okay. It's all squared, and we've gotten so much fun out of this.
I'll bet, because anybody who tackles anything that is related to Monk, there's such joy involved in what he did while he was with us. And then, you know, I'm so familiar with the Monk Institute because I'm in Baltimore, and of course D.C. is right down the road. And we always hear about the comings and goings of, oh, did you hear who was at Monk the other day? And I just couldn't believe it. Claire, I was so tickled because you were part of that huge roster of stars that were honoring, first of all, Madeleine Albright. That was the weekend of, I think, the drum finals or the drum award. But you were on stage with Aretha Franklin and Herbie Hancock and George Duke. Go on, go on, go on. That's the kind of caliber.
Let's just throw in Wayne Shorter.
let us do that, okay? he's on the board of directors, and you were tripping, weren't you?
I was tripping. I actually think I was tripping. I think that was one of the happiest days of my life. Like, untouchably happy day of my life. I mean, what could be more amazing? I mean, that just was great fun. It was just a riot. It was just the whole thing going. I went down the night before. They had a party for everybody. It was great. I had this greatest time hanging out with Jane Ira Bloom, who's just an old friend. And, you know, we don't get a chance to see each other that much. We're all working and doing our thing. And a million people, you know, at that, a million great people. And then to do the concert, and just, it was just untouchably great. I put a picture of it up on my Facebook page. There's a picture up on the front page. I just love it. I just, that day is like a centering day in my life. If I just remember that day, I can actually remember, oh, yeah, I'm okay and everything is all right. Yeah.
Well, guess what? You belonged there. You belonged there with all of those other folks, and I am sure that there are some people who are talking about you weeks after the fact.
Well, thank you. Thanks. I hope so. You know, we're all. I think that as an artist, I think almost any kind of artist, there's always this feeling of, am I being seen? Something like that. And so, you know, I hope so. I hope I get to keep doing this. Somebody said to me, the reward for playing jazz is you get to play jazz. And so sometimes, you know, you just have to go on the fact that everything's going forward. You can't always tell. But I've had so many lovely milestones and so many amazing, wonderful things happen recently that I'm very satisfied. I feel very happy.
Oh, you should. I really feel like, you know, in checking out your page for the past several months now on Facebook, there just seems to be this door that has opened. You must feel that. And you already had some wonderful things happen, in case folks don't know. I mean, you are a six-time winner of Downbeat Magazine's Talent Deserving Wider Recognition. And I know that you must chuckle at that. Because
I'm chuckling now as we speak. Well,
right,
actually,
I mean,
I'm going to be honest with you. That's on my website. I think it's been, I think it was 10 years that I won that, actually,
wow,
in the end. And what's so funny is that I just tell people, well, I'm a slow riser.
Oh, that's funny.
You know,
but, you know, Downbeat.
You hit a certain age, and it's kind of like, I think I've got to rethink this. But,
oh, no,
you know,
listen.
It's
when
good to be anywhere.
Exactly. That's what George Burns used to say all the time. I'm glad to be anywhere, that's for sure. Go back to Mary Joyce, because I know you want to talk about that. This is so close to your heart, and I was so touched. I felt that music, Claire. Honest to gosh, I did.
Mm, well, that's really good to hear, because that's what I want. I want people to feel the music. That's what reached me about music, is I felt it.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I wanted to do it, was I wanted to reach people. So that's important to me. And well, Mary Joyce, I don't know how much your listeners know, but Mary Joyce was my father's first cousin. 1935, she does a solo dog sled trip through uncharted turf from Juneau to Fairbanks, Alaska.
Jeez.
And she did have, she was alone some of the time. Some of the time she had some Tlingit Indian guides along the way. And it's a remarkable story. I mean, the whole story is amazing. The whole story of her life is really kind of amazing. But she ended up in this lodge, this remote lodge in Alaska, with a man that she moved there with, and he died a few years later. So she stayed there for a year by herself. You know, I think she was sleeping. And I think at some point she just decided, I want to go to the ice festival in Fairbanks. And she raised dogs. She raised sled dogs. So she took a 5-dog team and did her journal. Well, I met Mary when I was a little kid. And it left a big impression on me because she was not like anyone I had met before.
I'll bet, yeah.
And I dug that. I like that. And she was close to my father growing up, but she lived in Alaska. So that was the only time I met her. And I knew about her and remembered her, but I didn't think about her a lot. And then my cousin published her journal. And that is off the hook. That's really something. That's that Author House. What's that called? People can order that at Author House.
Oh, okay.
Something publishing. What's it called? Yeah, Author House. It's probably easy to Google that.
Yeah, sure.
And Mary Joyce, Taku to Fairbanks, 1,000 miles by dog team. And so my cousin, Marianne Greiner, published her journal. It's just her journal. It's not a book about the trip. It's actually Mary's words. And I read it and was just blown away. Just, I put it down and I was almost in shock. And I just, the thought came into my head of just, I have to write music for this.
Mm.
And I actually haven't composed a lot. I didn't know how to write music, but I haven't been called to compose a lot in my life. But this was a calling. I just was like, oh, my God, I got to write music about her. This is the most jazz life I could imagine. You know, I mean, talk about a wild improvisation of a life.
Mm, no kidding.
And the reason I called it Nothing to Lose, because I'm sure she went on that trip. You know, she'd been grieving and she was a loner of type. Her mother had killed herself. She had a very winding life. You know, I think her life was shown, but her spirit, she was always a very positive person. or, you know, whatever. But she had come from some deep sadness and stuff. And I just think that when she took this trip, I really think she just said, I'm either going to make it or not. I think she had nothing to lose when she took the trip, because you could not take a trip like that and not think that you might not make it.
Right, right.
You know, one of the things in her, before she left, her little rules to herself, she said, I'm not going to ride if it's below 60 below. Now, she did it anyway. She still went when it was below 60 below zero. So it's not a trip that you would undertake in any light fashion.
That's right.
And then when she left for the trip, you know, she was a few miles or whatever, and she realized she'd left her maps on the kitchen table, and she just kept going. It's like,
I had heard that, and I thought,
that,
you know what, that's beyond courageous. You have to have a sense of steel will in
yeah.
your...
Well, that's beyond courageous. That's crazy, because, you know...
Courageous.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, this was her calling in life to do that, because apart from anything else that she was while she walked the earth, look how she inspired you. And people are going to be hearing this and will be inspired every time they hear this project and want to learn more. So, you know, you don't know how many, especially women, young women, you're going to affect by this particular project. I get really excited thinking about that.
Well, I hope so. I hope so, because I love for young women to know that there are other choices besides what they see on the media about who they should be.
Exactly.
You know what
yep.
I'm saying?
I do. I just played Anita O'Day a while ago, and she was some kind of character. She passed away when she was like 86, 87, and she,
mm-hmm.
back in the 50s, wouldn't kowtow to these female stereotypes. She didn't want to wear a gown. She wanted to wear a jacket. She wanted to wear a skirt. She wanted to be, you know, known as hip. She wanted to be one of the guys. And one of the big accolades that I read about her was that here she was doing this album, and she's got Oscar Peterson and Herb Ellis. And she wasn't overshadowed by any of these guys. She was doing her thing. She knew that she was in her element, and she felt empowered. And that's
yeah.
the kind of stuff that we should be giving to young women.
Yeah, did you see the documentary about her?
I did not. I keep wanting to get my hands on that, but, man, I can't wait to get a hold of it.
Yeah, you got to find that. It's awesome. It's just really, really great. And she's
yeah.
really honest and really forthcoming. And I'll tell you this. She was talking. There's one interview of her with Bryant Gumbel, and it's after she's been through – you know, some pretty big challenges, and she's been an addict, and she's okay now, and she's coming back, and so Bryant Gumbel is like interviewing her, and he's trying to get her like to talk trash, or he's trying to get her, like, he's trying to bring her down, really, and she's smoking a cigarette, because they did on TV back then, and she's smoking a cigarette, and he's talking, and he's pushing some point, and she says, "That's just how it went down, Bryant." Line of the movie, man. It's awesome. That's just how it went down, Bryant. So,
man,
she was much hipper than him, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, yeah. Bryant thought he was hip at one time, but he learned his lesson about that. Well, I have something from this beautiful Mary Joyce project, Nothing to Lose. And I really do like, for different reasons, every single one of the tracks. But, you know, sometimes, Claire, when you hear a certain album for the first time, you have things that just hit you, and they make you misty-eyed, and you don't know why. Instrumental music is amazing like that. Who knows?
Mm.
It's like
yeah.
falling in love, you know?
Yeah.
You can't possibly
cool.
explain it. Yeah.
yeah.
So I love Guidance, and then I saw your description of it, and it made me love the song even more.
Great.
So
great.
You want to explain a little bit about the song and why you came to, you know, why this is on the album or what you feel when you hear it?
Well, you know, Steve, I wrote the music with Steve Hudson,
yep.
and the piano player on the record. And some of it's his, some of it's mine, some of it's ours. We wanted to pay homage to the Indian guides that helped Mary, because she was credited for this solo trip, but there were other people that were with her in parts of it, you know, cause, and there were trading posts, you know, that she had gone to along the way and stuff. I mean, there were some other people involved. So this was really our homage to the Tlingit guides. So I think, you know, we tried to find some Tlingit music. It was a little hard to do, but we came up with something, and I don't know, it just influenced us. And then when I went to Alaska to research her and I met all these people that knew her, that was amazing. I went with
my
cousin.
We
spent 2.5 weeks there, and it was magic. It was magic. I mean, and talk about doors opening. It was quite amazing. And I bought a Tlingit drum when I was there. So we used the, you know, we wanted to open it up with the Tlingit drum.
Oh, gosh. It sounds, I love the idea. Of course, the show is called Hybrid Jazz, but the idea of so many different kinds of influences coming into the creativity process, and it just sounds so global to me. It sounds like a unifying force to bring people together when I hear this song. Woo!
Oh, nice.
It's got some real healing elements in this. And this is, Claire Daly is our guest. I'm so tickled to have her. This is the Claire Daly Quintet, the Mary Joyce Project, Nothing to Lose. And the track is called Guidance on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Man, I could just get lost in that song for the next hour or so. Honestly.
Cool.
Claire Daly, you probably, I don't know how many times that you've been in an interview situation where you've been there listening to one of your songs, but and I only wanted to do the one because I know that your time is so valuable, but there were so many changes in that. I love the production on this album, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really do. You've assembled here some interesting people, and it's just so lovely to hear each instrument come alive and for folks to be cohesive and get the semblance of the project so that, you know, all you have to do as a listener is just go, oh, God, listen to that. Whoa, listen to that in the other ear.
Well, it was designed to be a bit of a journey. I mean, that was, you know, that's how we felt. Steve and I really talked a lot in writing it, and you know, that's what we wanted. I mean, we wanted to convey a journey.
Just really beautiful. And then, of course, Napoleon doing his thing, and man, just adding that the touches that he has, it's just it's really one of my little joyful revelations of the year, to tell you the truth. I love this.
Oh, thank you so much, Trish, really.
Yeah,
that means
you're
a lot
welcome.
To me. You know, it does. So thank you.
You are welcome. And I'm not going to keep you too much longer. I know, listen, what do you do during the day? You're always doing something, aren't you?
I'm always doing something, pretty much. I've been sort of not doing much this morning. I slept very late today. I must have just been exhausted. We did a gig for the Monk. We did like a CD release party two nights ago. And I think I was just exhausted. I stayed up. I was so wired. I stayed up all night. My just adrenaline was on overtime because it was really fun. And so I slept very late today. But I'm going to go teach. I teach at Litchfield Jazz Camp in the summer. And what I do in New York, I live in Manhattan, and I have a studio with a piano, bass, and drums. So I have combos of kids come. So I'm doing a combo today from 5 to 7, actually, today. So 4 to 6 on the weekend and 5 to 7 on Thursday. And
wow.
So, you know, a group of high school kids that like that are into jazz. I mean, these are mostly kids that have been up to the camp or that have found me, you know, one way or another, come over to the loft, and we just play. So they learn,
that is,
you know, they get
a...
Well, they have to have a place to play. You know, it's like we had garage bands, and I grew up in a house. You know, I had friends over to play. You know, we had a place to play, and a lot of these kids don't. So, you know, so that's what I'm doing.
That is just so amazing. You really like the idea of the whole mentorship process, don't you?
I really do. I really do. Yes.
That means,
you know,
everything.
Because otherwise, what's going to happen? You know, I don't know. And I also like giving them the experience, because if they just learn about jazz in school, it's schoolish. And I'm always saying to them, they're like, can I get a drink of water? I'm like, you guys don't have to ask if you can't drink the water. You know, I'm like, look, you're not in school here, okay? Like, I just try and stress that with them and let them, you know, be comfortable expressing themselves and not feel like they have to.
Look, that's a whole another subject, because one of the things that I want to see, I mean, I'm just grateful the kids have any kind of jazz education in schools. God, I really want to see that happen, not only just as an aside, but mandatory music education in schools all over again. I mean,
well,
it has
yeah.
to happen. Yeah.
There is there's one school that I know, I think there are two left in New York that have that. And all the kids, they have music. They have music every day. And actually, Wagner is the one that I did something at last year. And, I mean, these kids, they're amazing. They're amazing. And it gives them so much to be exposed to music every day. It gives them so much more than
just music. It's really important. So that's the jazz education thing or music education, to be fair, but specifically jazz education.
I'll take what I can get for these kids, because you're right. It makes all the difference in the world. In so many artists that I've spoken to, what would they have become had they not had the inspiration in their early years, where they had to pick out an instrument for the band and get to learn it, maybe even kick it and scream it as they went into it. They didn't want to play the sax or they didn't want to play the trumpet, but it was the last instrument left. And my God, life changed, and lo and behold, they're adults and they're making a living from playing it.
Yeah, or even if they're not, you know, they've had this experience of being in a group, of the whole being greater than the individuals.
That's right.
They've had to negotiate situations. They've had to, you know, it's given them a million skills beyond being able to play some music too, you know.
Which
it reaches the ones it does, and they go on with it, and they take it as far as they do. But even if they don't, they're benefiting from that in other ways in their life. So I just wish the value of it was seen in that way.
Well, you know what? Honestly, since now there are newly opened doors, here's that phraseology again, in the White House, I'm making it a point to make this my mission. I'm going to be the squeaky wheel that hopefully gets the grease, because I'm constantly getting mail that says, if you have any feedback that you want to give to the administration, please do. And that's my piece of it. I'm going to fight for these kids, because what you said and what I said is important. But at the end of the day, when these kids come, who grow to be adults, and even when they're kids, they close their house door behind them. Maybe they're in a horrible situation at home. Maybe they have something in their heads that's not right. Music can be the great stabilizer and the great healer.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And if I can do anything to help you, let me know.
Okay, cool. Well, look, as far as that's concerned, you turned Bill Clinton's world around. I just want to make sure folks know about that.
But
and let me
exactly
clarify.
Turned his world around. I
yeah,
know,
wait,
turned his world around, so let's be fair. But.
Yeah, listen, I'm scared of myself. I shouldn't have said that. Let's clarify. Because he heard your Swing Low, and he went, whoa. And apparently that was what he listened to when he was in the White House.
It is in his – that was my first CD, and it got a lot of airplay in Washington at that time, around 1999.
Awesome.
And he was president. And then out of the blue in 2004 – I got an email from somebody wanting a copy of the CD because it was going into the Bill Clinton Library, and I was like, in Arkansas, and I was like, what? And I was on the road at the time, and I was like, what? And he put it in on a list of CDs that were significant to him while he was in office. So
that is
that's a great honor. I know, it's less cool, you know, it's less fun, because you just, and there it is again. You never know. You put stuff out, you don't know who's listening or who's liking it, or
that's,
you know,
right.
It's all amazing when something acts like that.
And
so,
especially
so it's found in some listening station in Arkansas in his library.
And especially a fellow musician, apart from the idea that he is who he is as far as two terms and a presidency, but he's also a saxophone player, so he recognizes greatness. There you go, Claire.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Trish.
You're welcome. Yes, it's been a real trip to have you. I'm so glad that we had the chance to do this.
Oh, anytime. And I wish that you had already gotten the Monk CD. I want to hear from you when you get it and hear if you like it, because I feel like it's the best one I've made yet, and let me know when you get that. And if any of your audience wants to check it out, you can go to the northcoastbrewing.com. I think that's their website. And there's a page that says jazz, and when you go on that page, you'll find it. It'll say Claire Daly, Baritone Monk, and you click on that, and then you can listen to samples of it and then buy it there if you want. And you're also
wonderful.
Doing something good for the Monk Institute and for jazz education.
That's cool. That's cool. Just something that can't be it just can't be stated enough. And actually, what I'm going to do is I'm so excited about this that when it does come, then I want to do a special show focusing on female talent, instrumental female talent out there, and make it a big deal on the show. So I'll let you know.
Great. And March 27th, I just recently booked Jazz Alley in Washington. So
you're
going to
Blues Alley. Oh, my God.
Oh, what did I say? Yeah, Blues Alley.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, and I think it's the brewery people are going to be in town, Doug and his wife, and they're the greatest people. You're going to love them.
Oh, my God. That's great.
And they're doing some kind of beer event, a convention or something in Washington, but they're going to have a jazz event at Blues Alley. So, you know, I think it's open to the public, and if it's not, I'll make sure, you know, you can get in, or if anybody else really needs to, let me know.
Oh, definitely. That's awesome. Oh, you so need to be in D.C. because they're going to have their socks knocked off. I love it. Yay!
Oh, I had a great gig many years ago at Blues Alley. Great gig. Really fun. So,
yeah.
All right, my dear. Well, it was great to talk to you. Thanks for doing what you're doing. Thank you to your listeners for listening and for supporting jazz in every way that they do. And I hope we talk again soon.
And I think that we will, Claire, and I'll definitely see you at Blues Alley.
All right, Trish, great.
All right, Claire. All right,
bye-bye.
Bye. That's awesome. Oh, my gosh, that was an unexpected bonus to know that Claire Daly is going to be in the D.C. area coming up in the next year. The new year is right around the corner, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my God, it's just hard to conceive today. We're taping the show, actually, not taping, but we're doing this show so that it can be archived later on November 29th, 2012. Claire Daly, Manhattan-based, but folks know her in different pockets of the world. One of those amazing people who not only has delved into an instrument, the baritone saxophone, but also plays alto sax, flute, and she has delved into the vocals, and she's been a mentor. She is involved in production. She does consummate research. This Mary Joyce project is phenomenal. Nothing to Lose is the name of it. But Baritone Monk is the most recent. And it's one of those situations where you can't get it on MP3. You can only order it, and it comes to you via hard copy. But make it a point to go to Claire Daly. Let me just see if it's Claire Daly Music. Let me just go here and check that out so you can know that for sure. Claire Daly. Let me see. I'm doing this live. That's the beauty of a live show, isn't it? Claire Daly Music. And it's DALYCLAIRE. So there. Yeah. And we were talking before about Swing Low, her first album, and how enamored Bill Clinton was of that particular endeavor. And I want to play a song for you that first got to my attention via, again, Janice Rochelle Littlejohn from the project that is ongoing, but Can She Play? Claire Daly's in that. And this is a song called Little Old Lady from Swing Low on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Going, okay. She got talked into it. Oh, they liked to work together. Diane Reeves and the late, great Lou Rawls. Yeah. Baby, it's cold outside. Now, I told you I was going to play a couple of tracks from that really cool CD. It's got a blue cover and white lettering and just real, real simple jazz to the world. That was back in 1995 or so, and the proceeds, hopefully, I'm sure you can still get a hold of it, because they had a bunch of these different kinds of albums. Are they still doing them, I wonder? But this was the one from the mid-90s, and benefit goes to the Special Olympics. And speaking of which, Lou Rawls in his time, and I'm thinking of him, I do it this time of year, because he was born on the 1st of December in 1933. And when he was with us, I always remembered his birthday because he was one of my favorites. Woo! Got a chance to see him at the Valley Forge Music Fair in the 1970s. And I'll never forget that. And when he hit the opening strains of You'll Never Find Another Love Like Mine, I thought I would fall out. Now, I went with a guy named Bill, and we were going to Temple University together, and I had no idea what had transpired with Bill through the years, and now we're Facebook friends. So he was wondering about what happened to me through the years, and I was wondering about him, and now he's involved in jazz, and so am I. We sure weren't at the time. We were just college students, but Lou Rawls brings back some great memories. Lou passed away in 2006, but what a life he led. Have mercy. He raised so much money for the United Negro College Fund. I mean, thousands and thousands of dollars. He was just amazing. And this is so ironic. Oh, man. The last song that he had sung, whether it was performance or whether it was recorded, I'm not quite sure about that, was the song, if you're familiar, It Was a Very Good Year. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? The lyric from that song is just too intense for words. Man, there's a lot of folks who miss him. And I wonder how Lou Rawls Jr. feels. He's another Facebook friend. And, you know, his kids must... what a larger-than-life character Lou Rawls was. Just funny and kind and just get-her-done kind of guy. The set of pipes that he had. Ugh, we'll have to get more into Lou Rawls' music next show. We'll do that. Donald Byrd we heard from, 1966 from Mustang, On the Trail, one of those great Donald Byrd songs, master on trumpet. Donald Byrd is going to be 80 on December the 9th. And I checked this out. When you go to the Delaware State University page, he's still on there. He is one of those masters in residence. And as recent as June, he was doing his thing. There was a salute to him at the school. And apparently he still conducts seminars and workshops and makes his way from his residence in New Jersey to come to DSU. So I'm tickled. 80 years old on the 9th of December. On that particular album, by the way, just some stellar people that you need to know for sure. Freddie Waits on drums, McCoy Tyner on piano, Sonny Red on alto sax, Hank Mobley on tenor sax. The Blue Note Crew, says All Music. That was the Blue Note Crew. Donald Byrd and Claire Daly we heard from Swing Low and Little Old Lady. And again, ClaireDalyMusic.com has more information about our guest. It was just such a joy. I wasn't sure how the interview was going to go because we have never spoken before today. We've communicated for sure, but that's via email. When you don't have the luxury of knowing what somebody's voice sounds like, you don't know about their inflections or how somebody laughs or what they find funny. But she is exactly the way I imagined her to be. She is one of those gals, and she and I are approximately the same age, that considers herself to be old school in a way, but also an older hippie, an aging hippie. But she is so enamored with what's happening in the way of creativity in young people that she keeps her mind open. And because of that, she's just so full of life and hope and joy. It was just a pleasure to have her for the time that we had her. It just was perfect. Claire Daly, and I'm looking forward to Baritone Monk. When that comes in, when I get a hold of that, you're going to hear some tracks on this show. Oh, yes, you are. Just so cool. And all the proceeds benefit the Thelonious Monk Institute in D.C. And if you don't know what's happening there, Herbie Hancock and Wayne Shorter and George Duke and all the people who assemble the talent, who decide who's going to get into the school, they've got beautiful programs for kids. They've got award situations for kids. It's just mind-blowing how Monk has been able, in the years after he has left us, he has passed this beautiful musical torch to so many kids who are now, and I'm thinking of one example, a lady who got into the Institute, and look at what she has been able to do. Creative, beautiful soul, hears the gift of jazz so acutely and so uniquely, Gretchen Parlato. She would be on here for a couple of hours talking about that school. And thank you to Herbie and Wayne and all the other folks who said, yeah, she's going to be a student here. Love it. Demetrius Neighbors. Have you heard that name for a while? We had him on the show many months back. He's got a new Christmas project out. But we're going to go back now to when he was on the show with me, back to Journey Within, Part 1. This is a track that Demetrius likes to call his date night track. For couples to get together and spend a little quality time, you know what I mean? Into the Night, Demetrius Neighbors on the keyboard, Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you. awaken love. Open your eyes to a new day. Awaken love. Little boy, grow to be a good man. Prove wrong, society, and those with minds made up for you to fail. Little girl, womanhood is in demand for your great dreams. Follow the road that leads to your destiny. Clichés have been spoken for both of you, passed down through generations. But prayer, prayer makes the difference. Await new mercies in the eclipse of the soul. Awaken love.
Laughter, peace.
know you have to listen to that album a couple of times, and then you realize the amazing aspects of the nook and crannies that you might not have heard the first time. Honest to gosh, this has been a revelation. Lori Williams, based in the Washington, D.C. area, but you just heard. That is some kind of international talent there. She's just amazing. What we heard is from her brand new CD, Eclipse of the Soul, first on spoken word, accompanied by her daughter, Lauren. How good was Lauren on that flute? Oh, my God! Beautiful girl, and mom is just stunning. And then you heard the title track, Eclipse of the Soul. Just stellar musicians around her. Lori Jazz, LoriJazz.com, has more information. An educator, a writer, a person of this enormous feeling of giving back, very spiritual person, and what she has been able to do on Eclipse of the Heart has just been able to take you into that realm and make you see jazz in a whole new way. She's really proud, Lori is, of being known as a jazz vocalist. She's just exceptional. Matter of fact, just communicated with Benji Parecki, one of the consummate keyboardists in the region. Benji has a new Christmas album out, Holiday Magic, keeps on floating through the atmosphere, and Benji has used Lori on his CD. So Lori is one of those people. She did the Capital Jazz Super Cruise a month or so ago, and she's got really nice pictures on her Facebook page, by the way. And she was singing for George Duke and a bunch of other folks on that cruise. She's just one of those go-to vocalists, and you just heard a couple of reasons why. Mercy, that is good stuff. Woo! Eclipse of the Soul. And speaking of George Duke, we heard him with Stanley Clark and Everett Hart. I will let this CD rest for a while, but I wanted to play one more track from Jazz to the World, because there's just so many great artists on it, and there's so much wonderful holiday music to play in these next few weeks. I just am excited. George and Stanley and Everett Harp together. Love that. George and Stanley are going to be in Nagoya, Japan, coming soon, the 3rd of December through the 7th. They're going to be at Motion Blue and Blue Note in Japan. And then I guess George is going to get primed and ready for his 67th birthday in the early part of January. Yay! George, oh my gosh, so neat to hear O Tannenbaum, or O Christmas Tree, if you will. That is a really smoking version of that beautiful classic, isn't it? Love it. Demetrius Neighbors, also on keyboard, from his A Journey Within, Part 1, that was Into the Night. Demetrius has a new album coming out. Actually, the mastering is going on as we speak. Christmas with Crayon. His nickname is what it's going to be called, Crayon with a K. And on Into a Journey Within, Part 1, in case you didn't know, his good friend Tim Bowman, also his good friend Lynn Roundtree and Randy Scott, among others, helping him out with that CD, which is really luscious. And Into the Night was one of those date night songs. Romantic, wasn't it? Hope it does the trick for you if you're going to be listening to this in the archives. Hey, look, if you're listening now, what? Our time, it's 3:40 in the afternoon. Could be a little afternoon delight going on for you. Whatever the case is, I'm glad I did my part. You can send a check if you'd like. We're going to play something for you now. I haven't heard from this lady. You haven't heard from this lady. Maybe if you're a good friend, you have. But here's the situation. Joyce Cooling has been away from us for a while, about a year and a half. And she just gave a little Thanksgiving message on her Facebook page. And I was thinking how cool it would be, since she was on the show with our friend Jerry B. last year right around the Christmas time, the last show before Christmas, I thought it might be a cool idea to do that again. So I'll have to approach her and see how she feels about that, see what her plans are for 2013. This is Back to Global Cooling. Love this track because I have a new oven as of yesterday. I thought of Rhythm Kitchen because now we're cooking with gas. Joyce Cooling on guitar on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy. Song is it's too dadgum short, 2 minutes and 24 seconds. I wasn't even going to play Nancy Wilson today, but I just had a hankering to hear her voice. I might have that hankering all month long coming up in December because she just has a way of spelling it out for you like nobody else does. And, you know, I was thinking about her because we really did suffer a blow in the music community when Major Harris passed away several days ago. And I was thinking of Love Won't Let Me Wait and Nancy Wilson's version of that song. And I heard a female do that song. I was just blown away. She has one of the most amazing voices, always did, always will. God bless her. Nancy is 75, and normally I would go to her website. But here's the situation. It was MissNancyWilson.com, and up until some months ago, it was still kicking, but that's because her longtime manager was running it. Now, he passed away, sadly, and then even sadder still, we don't even have his legacy to hear about his life on the website because somebody hacked into the website. So if you know what's happening with Nancy, I'm trying to get my feelers out to find out what's going on with her, if she's in okay health, if she's going to be doing any touring in 2013. But you just heard one of the definitive versions of What Are You Doing New Year's Eve? Miss Nancy Wilson for you. Mm. Dave Brubeck, have to play these old schoolers during the holiday season. Woo! Santa Claus is Coming to Town from Jingle Bell Jazz in 1962, which also featured some of the folks on the roster back then, Chico Hamilton, Carmen McRae, Duke Ellington. Dave Brubeck, God bless him, is going to be 92 on December the 6th. So anytime we hear some of these treasured gems by artists that we have revered through the years and they are still with us, oh, mercy. Please, if you have a chance to go get an autograph or if they're going to appear somewhere, maybe not sing necessarily, but do a book signing, go and just tell them how much their music has meant to them through the years. Music has meant to you. They know what it means to them. It gave them a paycheck. But if you get a chance to see them in 2013, please do, while we still have them. Joyce Cooling, we heard. Rhythm Kitchen from Global Cooling. And if you have a frame of reference for now until whatever it is, the holiday that you celebrate in December, think about this. Joyce's beautiful causes that she always discusses are NAMI, the National Alliance for or Association for Mental Illness Alliance. I'm thinking of Fellowship Health Resources. One of the NAMI, you go to NAMI.org. I'll look it up while I'm talking to you and see what it is, because I want to get you on the right path. How many times have I talked about this? But if I look under NAMI, this is what Joyce Cooling is all about, because her brother has had a mental challenge for years, and she thought that she really wanted to give back by making people aware of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. NAMI, NAMI.org, has more information. And you can find out probably now, I haven't checked the website, but they are keen on making sure that folks know, especially during the holiday season, how you can take part in resources that they have for you to get through Christmas. So keep that in mind. Also, Fellowship Health Resources, they've got a lot to tell you. Fellowship Health Resources. And if you go to joycecooling.com, you'll find out more. And I want to find out more from her, so don't be surprised if you hear her on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy in the next few weeks. Coming up this Tuesday, it will be First Tuesday. That means everybody who's an artist, who's got a gig or a new CD, don't keep it to yourself. Make sure you give us a call at 323-843-6172. That number will get mentioned again for the next show. And with us that day will be Carla Chisholm, a beautiful girl inside and out with a voice. Oh, my goodness. She's got lots of good news to spread, so I want to make sure you take advantage of what she has to tell you. God bless you. Thank you, JoJo, for visiting us for the first time today. Yay. My beach, my SoCal gal, my bride of Funkenstein was with us today. Matt was with us for a short time, and we had lots of guests in and out today. I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio, for making me a featured host and doing a little advertising for me. Yay! We've had some really good numbers for guests, especially Albert. And then Dan, the two Dans, Dan Cipriano and Daniel Bennett from the other day. Thank you. Have a wonderful weekend. Be safe. And I'll see you on Tuesday on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. God bless.